I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. My name is Iman, and I am joined by the man who joined me last week again from NBA Big Board. It is Raphael Barlow. Raphael, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good, thanks. Thank you for joining me again to talk more draft prospects as we're near and we inch closer to the NBA draft. Since the last time we spoke, the Raptors have a head coach, which is really nice.
Yeah, I mean, right after we said goodbye, then next thing I know, I get the alert. And I'm like, dang, we would have just did that podcast 30 minutes later. We would have been able to talk about the new coach and how the player may fit the coach's system. But, you know, that happens.
It does. It does. And I mean, it is a first time NBA head coach. So there will be sort of a lot and some behind the scenes for everybody else. Somehow the sausage is made. Is that a saying? I feel like it is. Amit was going through our pod as he was producing it and just taking out all the bits where we mentioned it. So you didn't get to hear us repeat time and time and time again that the Raptors have no head coach, because they do. And that's great. But that's a pod for a whole other day. Today, we're here to talk about some more names in the upcoming NBA draft. Now, when the draft comes, is it like a relief for you? Is that your championship moment when you get to exhale a little bit?
Yeah and no, but then like a few days later it's summer league, so
that's true.
Yeah, from a content perspective, it's busy. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to have like my draft grades out, and then also all, like, you know, my Locked On NBA Big Board podcast after the draft is complete, which, you know, the draft is like 4 hours. So between doing the podcast, writing. And then I'm actually going to New York, and we'll find out if it was a mistake or not, but I'm leaving on Sunday night, and then I return Friday morning, but I'm bringing my wife, my 11-month-old son, and then my 13-year-old niece. We're all going. So
that sounds fun.
It does sound fun, but I'm wondering, like, all right, am I going to be able to manage? Because I'm like the one that has to entertain and do all that while getting the work done. So we'll see how productive I am, but it's going to be fun. It will be a relief because I've been talking about these guys since August.
Right.
And so I'm like looking forward to scouting and evaluating a totally different group of guys. So it is a relief, but it's kind of like my busy time of year, and also the time of year where I guess I can say I make the most money from, you know, whether it's podcast downloads, YouTube downloads, subscriptions on my newsletter. So it's like, it's a good time. And then it's also a relief when it's over.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So I was throwing out a bunch of names at you. A lot of them are guards, because as we mentioned, that is going to be a point of emphasis for the Raptors, whether it be something they address in the draft or something they address in free agency or through trades. It's going to be something they need. But before we get into that, there have been a lot of rumors, a ton of rumors, that the Raptors are trying to move up in the draft. There are reports that, you know, of course, with Portland having the number 3 pick, and Portland, as you're familiar with, wanting to move off that pick, there might be something there. There's also been reports that the Raptors have been sniffing around Houston and the number 4 pick over there. And now it seems like the number 7 pick in Indiana. It feels as though the Raptors really desperately want to get into the top half of the draft. The last time we've heard reports this loud about the Raptors wanting to get into somewhere in the lottery was when Giannis Antetokounmpo was available and when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was available. So very clearly, there's someone they're looking at in this draft that they have their eyes on. And I don't know. We've talked about Bilal Coulibaly. Very well could be him, but it could be someone else. Who do you think the Raptors are really sort of eyeing to move up in the draft? Of course, if we're talking number 2-3, that is a different entirely than, you know, a number 7 pick. But what do you think there?
Scoop. If Scoop. Fred VanVleet is gone, and I mean, I guess that gives you the signs that it is a rebuild. And I think you go after Scoop. Now you got your franchise point guard. And you help a team that really wants to win now. And I don't know what the package is. Obviously, you know, if you're Portland, you want Siakam. That's who you start with. Whether or not that happens, if Masai hangs up or allows him to keep talking, that's a different story. Maybe OG. Can
sharpen that deal?
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things where if Portland really feels like, all right, we got to maximize Dame's last few years, then you're going to have to give up something. But yeah, basically giving up the number 3 pick and the number 7 pick last year, I actually saw a fake trade. It was like it would give them Pascal and OG. Oh. But there would have had to have been like some crazy type of money to make it work. But that would signal like a totally, totally complete rebuild. But if you got Scoot and Shaedon Sharpe, and you still keep the 13th pick, I mean, that would be somewhat exciting, but just signals like the real end of an era.
I'm you know, and this is something that I'm sure we'll be discussing a lot over the offseason. I've kind of thought a lot about the idea of one of OG Anunoby or Pascal Siakam being gone, but both of them in one summer. Sad thinking about it, but we don't have to think about it just yet. So Scoot, if they want to move into that top 3, it looks as though the Hornets might be picking Miller before that. But what about the sort of number 7 range? Because it seems as though they really just don't want to be in the teens, because they think maybe, and we talked about it last time, that a Utah or what was the other team, the Thunder, who picked right before them, might be stealing their guy if they do have a guy in this draft. Any thoughts about who that might be in the sort of middle of the lottery?
Yeah, so we talked about it last time. Coulibaly could be that guy. I mean, I don't know if he slides past 9 to Utah. Oof. But if they're trying to get to 7, then that must mean he must be the guy. Maybe it's Anthony Black. Maybe it's someone like him. I know they have a lot of wings and forwards. I don't know if like Jairus Walker or Taylor Hendricks makes sense to move up if you're going to keep, you know, Pascal and OG. I think you would really have an unbalanced roster there, but you'd have a summer to kind of balance it out. So I would assume it would have to be a guard, whether it's Anthony Black and maybe like Bilal, even though he's more so of a like long-term prospect. And I don't know if it's real or not. Did you see the Wembanyama quote today about Bilal? It was translated in French, but he made the comment that he looks at the Thompson twins and he sees that they played an overtime elite. And Bilal is younger. He has like a longer wingspan. And he showed that what he's capable of in a better league and in the playoffs. So Bilal should be a top 5 pick. And it's very interesting case that he brought up that I hadn't considered. That if, you know, he was doing that in a pro league and he is 2 years younger, he may not be as athletic, but he is one of the better athletes. I guess you can't make a case for him. Maybe I can see the argument, I should say. And so maybe Toronto feels like there's a team ahead of them that really likes him. Maybe it is the Pacers, because, I mean, they need help at the forward spot. And they do have some young guys, and maybe like that's in their timeline also. I've always thought the Pacers were going to take between Taylor Hendricks and Jairus Walker, but maybe. I mean, Masai is a smart guy. If he wants to move up to 7, that means he feels like there's somebody that is targeting the guy that he wants, and he needs to get ahead of them.
Victor Wembanyama, I know you're listening to me here, so we'll play. Please, we're not saying that. We need to fall a little lower in the draft here. Don't make it harder for us. No, that's really interesting. I think I heard that he had said something about him being a top five pick. I didn't know that was something that came out today. Maybe in all my reading it did happen.
Yeah, he today said top 10 a few weeks back, but then today. Now again, I could be wrong. It came from a French publication, and then they translated it. And you know, Twitter's crazy nowadays. You don't know who's verified and who's just paying for it. So you don't know, but
let me use my French immersion. So let me put it to good use and take a look at that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, if they want to move up to seven, that means
I mean, not just, I think, because Indiana is interested in a guy like OG Anunoby, of course, you know, he has ties back to Indiana. Yep. And so I think that that's sort of where the number seven comes about. I don't know if that's necessarily where they're sort of pinpointing. It does sort of seem like they do desperately want to move up in the draft as opposed to staying in that 13th spot. And that could very well be a name because of how quickly he's rising that they're like, hey, maybe that's not the guy that we get, but you mentioned it. Black is another person there as well. And there's obviously going to be better players that are higher up in the draft than lower. But let's talk about some of those guys that are going to be around at 13. And, you know, the Raptors have worked some of them out. And a lot of the names that seem to come up are guards. And we talked a little bit about some of our Michigan guards before, but I kind of wanted to bring up their names and ask you to maybe rank some of these players if I could, or where you would have them go. Okay. I'm gonna throw some names at you. Not all like let's start off with Jalen Hood-Chipino. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be one guy. Kobe Bufkin, that's gonna be another guy. Let's also do Keontae George. And then let's throw in Braden Pojemski.
So you said Hood-Chipino. Mm-hmm. Keontae George. Mm-hmm. Braden Pojemski. Who was the other name?
Bufkin.
Who? All right. I think I would go with Keontae.
Okay. That's interesting. Keontae. It's at the top of the thing.
Yeah, I would take Keontae above. I would take Keontae one. I'm going my gut. Hood-Chipino two, Bufkin three, Pojemski four.
Very interesting. Okay, so let's sort of break that down a little bit. Now, a lot of the talk about Keontae, of course, he injured his ankle, if I'm not mistaken, yep, and has sort of fallen down the ranks for people. And I know that athleticism is something that people have pointed out as a knock of his. What do you have to say about that, to have him number one? And then just sort of in my research, it seems like people aren't as sure about him as you are. And I want to sort of leave you the floor with why.
Yeah, all right. So number one, if people mention that he has an ankle injury and that he played through it, and then in the same breath, they mention lack of athleticism, like you can like see, all right, if he was playing hurt, then he wasn't, you know, 100% himself, and maybe that played a role in the lack of athleticism. Now, I will say that I live in Dallas. I've watched Keontae for years, so I have seen him play prior to college, and he is a good athlete, but he's not a guy where his game is just completely based off of athleticism. He's good at changing pace and just getting to his spots, but he can take off. I mean, I remember a guy was making a claim to me that he's not athletic, and I showed him a video that I had in my phone of Keontae jumping over somebody that was standing under the rim and dunking. And I showed him that, and he was just like, wow. I was like, yeah, his game is not based off of athleticism, which we see so many guys that if they have an injury or they lose like their first step, then it significantly impacts their game. So I think with Keontae, he has a blend of athleticism. I even talked to him about it, just like, you know, what are the biggest misconceptions about his game? And then I mentioned a lack of athleticism. And he was like, you know, athleticism isn't all about dunking. It's about, can you get elevation on your spot, on your shot, how you move, how fluid you move, and so on. And he just mentioned that he's a better athlete. But then he also told me that he played 20 pounds heavier than he felt comfortable with this season, because the Big 12 is a tough conference.
Right.
And it's not a conference that is known for having like successful freshmen. Like, it's an older conference. There really were only two impact freshmen this year in the Big 12, and it was Keontae George and Grady Dick. Other than that, a lot of the freshmen that were even highly touted struggled. So it's a veteran league, and I think the plan was for him to bulk up and get stronger, but he put on too much. So he had on, I think he told me like 20 pounds on top of playing hurt the second half of the year. And I think it just kind of impacted how people feel about him. But I had the opportunity to watch him work out earlier this spring. After the season finished, he shed the weight. He looks like the athlete he was in high school. I was at his pro day in Chicago, and it was phenomenal. And I think he's back in the lottery discussion after a lot of people did not have him in the lottery discussion. So I'm high on Keyonte. And I would tell anybody that has doubts about Keyonte, go to, and it was actually in Canada this or last summer, the Global Jam. And it's spelled like G-L-O-B-L. I don't know why there's no A between the B and the L. But he was phenomenal in that. And that like gives you like an idea of what he can do. And I thought the Baylor situation wasn't also the best fit. He played with three small guards. And so he was kind of, they were just a small team. So I think he can shoot the ball better than the numbers indicate. Definitely better athlete. And he was playing hurt. And then I would also say, the two games that he played before he got hurt, it was against Kansas and Kansas State. And if I'm not mistaken, in those two games, he combined for 43 points on 11 for 20 from three. And then he got hurt in the Texas game, and it just went downhill from there.
Okay, wow. You're selling me. And let's get to, you had number four. I think you had Pajemski number four there. Why would you have him as sort of the last guy of the four that names? I know, like, we're talking about guys that are probably going to be taken in the lottery or fairly early on in the first round. Well, this is not a knock on any of those players, but of the four guys that I named, why hasn't Pajemski sold you ahead of some of those other guys?
I've kind of been late on the Pajemski train, although I was kind of tipped off to him last summer. So he went to Illinois, barely played. I don't know if he averaged 3 minutes a game or 3 points per game. It was something significantly low. He transferred, and Santa Clara went on like a European tour, and he played really, really well. So I started getting messages, hey, you got to check this kid out. He's an NBA prospect. And I'm go back at his stats like, okay, whatever. But my gut feeling told me to put him on my preseason draft guide. So I put him in the draft guide, and he exceeded expectations. He was really, really good. He doesn't pass the eye test. And I jokingly say, if we went to the gym and we had to pick up players and he was standing there and the Thompson twins and all these other guys were lined up and you had to pick which one.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be one of your top picks. And it's not because he's white. I don't want people to think like, oh, you know, make it a race thing. He just doesn't have like the long arms. He tested well as an athlete, but he's proven me wrong quite a bit this year, and maybe he can do it again. But the numbers were great this year. I want to say it was like 19.9 points per game, 8 rebounds per game. He is a really good rebounder. He's the best rebounding guard in this class, at least statistically. You may say the Thompson twins, but I would say statistically, he's the best guard. He can knock down open shots, shot over 40% from three. And at the combine, I thought he showed some flashes of him being able to run a team and make plays and read. So I think he's going to be good. And it could be the second Santa Clara player that makes first team all rookie. Like last year was Jalen Williams, who came out of, you know, he was like a second round pick until he went to the combine, ends up going in the lottery and has a really good year. And maybe Pajemski could be, you know, the next one. But I think he's going to be good. But I think that he's still going to have to prove people wrong because he is still somewhat of an unknown because he went to a smaller school and didn't have like a lot of, you know, big TV games.
Okay. Okay. And then you had Hochifino second of the group and Bufkin number three. Why do you have Hochifino higher than?
I just want my gut. And I've learned just trust your gut. Trust your gut. I like the size, 6'7", and he's a big point guard. I think he's really, really good at attacking drop coverages. Like he had a game against Purdue this year, and Purdue had Zach Edey, like the 7'4". Well, he's Canadian. You may know Zach Edey. 7'4", National Player of the Year. And Hochifino just torch Purdue's drop coverage defense because he's a very good mid-range shooter. And he's actually a pretty good shooter off the dribble from three. Not a high volume of attempts, but he shot 38% from three off the dribble, which is good.
Yeah.
So he is a guy that is not the greatest athlete, not very explosive, doesn't have like this great blow-by speed, but he has the size and strength to get to his spots. And his bread and butter is his pull-up and his floater. And I think that his game is built for like NBA defenses because he loves to attack drop coverages.
Hey, that's great. I mean, like speaking of guys who have a floater, a graphic came out and it had a bunch of guys who were where guys shot between 5 to 10 feet and what percentage they shot at. And of course, there were two Raptors right at the bottom there, in Fred VanVleet and Precious Achiuwa, who are both, you know, poor finishers as well, but also just have no floater in their game either. So if it's not for the outside shot, so getting someone in there for the Raptors, you can do something like that, I think can be really beneficial. And then let's close this off on Kobe there. What are your thoughts on him in this draft and why you have him sort of third behind some of those other guys, but ahead of Pojemski there?
Yeah, I mean, I like Bufkin. I think that, you know, you can make a strong case and say he'll be the first player drafted out of this group. And the case for that is he is a sophomore. Well, he just finished his sophomore season, but he's the same age as a lot of the freshmen. So as a freshman, he showed flashes, but I mean, he wasn't like really productive on paper. And then he had a breakout sophomore year. At the start of the season, he was probably considered Michigan's third best player at best. And then slowly throughout the season, they kind of gave him more and more freedom. And once he kind of got the keys to the team, he just showed what he's capable of. What I do like about him is that he doesn't have any like real glaring weaknesses. Like you can't look at his stats and look at his game and say, this is a major area of concern, other than the fact that he needs to get stronger, which, I mean, you can put that on everybody's title court except like three guys. But he was very efficient at the rim. And why I think that Toronto could be a good fit for him is because, if I'm not mistaken, out of all the guards projected in this draft class, I think his numbers statistically were the best at the rim. Mm. But he shot 71% at the rim this season, which is incredible.
Insane. And we were talking about that, yeah.
And that's without like floor spacers and NBA spacing. So, which is really good.
Do the Raptors have that?
What's that?
Do the Raptors have floor spacing? Do the Raptors have NBA spacing?
No, that's
spacing?
Why somebody mentioned that. It was somebody mentioned to me, and it's in an article that I'll drop on Monday. But a person that I respect was like, in reality, if Grady Dick is available, that's who Toronto needs because they need shooting so bad, and that's what he can provide. They were like, it may not be like the sexiest pick that Raptors fans want to hear about because, you know, you want guard help. But he was like, he immediately comes in and addresses like, you know, their biggest need. At least that's what the guy's opinion.
And hey, that's valid. I think we talked a little bit about it because that was the last question that I left you with. Where I was like, I can't let you go without asking about shooting because it is the one thing that the Raptors need. You know, talking about a guy who can finish, you know, without NBA spacing, we'll come to the Raptors and find that he doesn't have any of that here either. Yeah. So you mentioned it. You think that Kobe Bufkin goes probably ahead of any of these guys mentioned here. And I think we talked about possibly him being, you know, the first guard out of Michigan. But you have Keyonte as your sort of top of the list guy. I have a question for you. Do you think that he sort of falls into the lottery? Do you think that, or do you think he falls out of the lottery? Or where do you project he goes?
I've actually heard someone tell me, someone close to him that's kind of in the loop, and they mentioned that unless Toronto trades up, they don't think he gets past Toronto. Of course, like if Bilal is available, then he thinks they'll take Bilal. But he mentioned that if the way that a lot of people are projecting it to go, that Keyonte won't get past Toronto. And he told me that he thinks that they prefer Keyonte over Nick Smith and some of the other guards in that draft range. So I think he can go lottery. I mean, he was invited to the green room, so I mean, he can't be falling too far. Even though, I mean, I think there's 20 guys that have been invited since then, since the list came out. But I do think that he'll be a lottery pick because, like I said, the stock that he had or the momentum that he had coming into the season, right before he got hurt, I think he's picked it back up with his individual workouts and his pro days because he is slimmer, he is healthier, and I mean, he just has a beautiful shot. He's a good shooter, but it's like you would think the shot should go in more than it does.
Yeah.
But we'll see if, you know, the lack of elevation hurt a little bit or the extra weight impacted the shot. But like I said, I don't think he gets past Toronto.
Interesting.
As of today, you know what I mean? Like
things change. Yeah, no, valid. So of the four guys that we just sort of named, who do you think falls out of, like, do you imagine all of them go in the lottery? I don't think that there's probably space for all of them. Or who do you think sort of has the least amount of stock currently?
I don't think Pajemski's a lottery pick. I think he's late first round, maybe in the 20s at best, but I don't think he'll go in the lottery. So I think that was the easy one. Bufkin could go in the lottery. I think Toronto and New Orleans could select, could take Bufkin in the lottery. And then Hood Schifino, I really think there is a chance, but there's only 14 spots, and then there's only so many combo guards that can be taken. So, but I would, if I had to bet, and I'm not a betting person, but if I had to bet, I'd say one for sure in the lottery, maybe two.
Interesting. And it seems as though, like, as I'm sort of processing everything you're saying, it seems as though Kobe Bufkin probably has the least amount of sort of weaknesses of the guys that you've sort of been talking about, but a guy like Keyonte has the highest ceiling. Am I right to sort of gain that from what you're saying? Am I reading too much into this?
No. I think that, like, statistically, Bufkin doesn't have, like, when you just look at the numbers on paper, even if you look at his game, he doesn't have, like, a glaring weakness. Like, for Keyonte, you can look at the numbers and say, well, he was inefficient from the floor, or he could have shot better.
Right.
I think some of that is related to, you know, everything that I mentioned. But, like, statistically, you can't just say, like, oh, well, because I think Kobe shot, like, 36% from three. He defends. He gets to the rim. He's a good passer. I mean, I guess if there is a knock is that he just needs to get stronger. But, again, he's the same age as all the freshmen in this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Class. He just went to school earlier. He's even younger than his teammate, Jet Howard, who was a freshman this year.
Right.
So I think that, you know, maybe, and
let's
sometimes I got to
talk about Jet as well. Where would you throw Jet into this mix? Sorry to interrupt you.
Jet is interesting because you see the flashes, like the talent. He's 6'8". He can handle the ball. He can shoot. He can make plays for others. My concern with Jet is he averaged 3.4 more rebounds than me and you. So at 6'8", how do you average 3 rebounds per game? Like, there's a guy, Marquise Noel, who's like 5'8", from Kansas State, that averaged more rebounds than Jet Howard. Brandon Pajemski averaged like 5 rebounds more than Jet Howard. So
I see why the Raptors worked him out.
Yeah. I mean, I heard the Raptors had a pretty good group a while back. And I think, like, I know that the whole Nick Smith, Cason Wallace, Keontae George, I think they've all been. It was one person. I know there was a workout. I think Nick Smith and Cason Wallace worked out together in Toronto. And I think Keontae either didn't work out on that particular day or whatever. But anyway, long story short.
I don't know
short,
if I saw Keontae's name on the list, but it's very possible. I was sort of going through it right before.
I know he was supposed to, but I think they told me that I don't know if he rescheduled or something came up. But but yeah, Jet is he's really talented.
Right.
He did have some ankle injuries at the end of the year that sidelined him. And he didn't do anything at the combine because I guess he wasn't fully healed from the ankle injuries. So it just makes me wonder, did the ankle injuries have any impact on like his defense? Because he wasn't a good defender and he was just a poor rebounder. So maybe he just didn't want to mix it up. I don't know. But to me, that's concerning. But something that that I've heard from like multiple teams is that every team wants wings, except Toronto, because y'all got plenty of wings.
But every still works team them wants out. Wings. Still works them out.
But the problem is he mentioned that the teams, like very few teams are trying to be bad. Like even the bad teams are trying to like make a significant leap this year and they want to win. So he was like, the issue with this draft is either you have wings that can shoot and they can't defend, or you have wings that can defend and you can't shoot.
Right.
He said, depending on the team, you may not have the time for the wing that can defend. The coach or the front office may not have 2 to 3 years for that guy to develop into a reliable shooter.
Yeah.
But then they're like, can you turn a non-defender in college and think that he's going to be a good NBA defender, even though he can shoot? And then if you make the playoffs, can that guy that can shoot, can he stay on the court in the playoffs? And then if you take him off the court, then your offense changes. So they mentioned like that is the dilemma with a lot of teams this year.
Yeah.
Just because everybody from Houston, they had 3 bad years. They want to get significantly better, at least be in the play-in. Detroit is thinking that, you know, if Cade is healthy, they can possibly be a play-in team. You know, Indiana was a playoff team at one point last season before Halliburton got hurt. So, and then Orlando expects to make a significant jump.
Right.
So the question is, like, with these wings, there's really no type of balance. You either got a good shooter or a bad defender, or a bad shooter and a good defender.
Which is, like, a really tough thing in the NBA right now. It feels like you don't find a lot of those guys that are, you know, specialty in one department. You kind of have to be well-rounded. Sorry to cut you off.
Especially in the playoffs. So that was a long-winded answer, but that was my concern about Jet Howard. I think if Jet was an average defender and a good rebounder, I think he would be surefire lottery pick, which would be interesting because Jet, Keontae, and Jairus Walker were all on the same high school team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that like, okay, so you know what? We kind of glossed over it when talking about a lot of these sort of guards that we were talking about. We've mentioned a lot of combo guards already because that kind of is a knock on a lot of those type of players, especially, you know, you mentioned it with wings, but a lot of the time when you have a combo guard who can, you know, get to the rim or who can shoot a ton, they're there because they can get you a ton of offense in a short amount of time, but they tend to really be poor on the defensive end. Which one of these guys do you think is sort of the best defender of the group of, and you can name anybody that I haven't named either, but who are you looking at as sort of the best defender of the bunch that the Raptors can find? And it doesn't have to be a combo guard necessarily, but just guards in general.
He's a Canadian, Olivier Maxence Prosper. I don't think he'd be in that range, but I think that he is the best defender. And he is someone that has really shot the ball well. And I think he's helped himself the most in this pre-draft process. From everything I've heard, and he actually came on my podcast on Monday, but prior to hearing that, or prior to him coming on, I just heard that he is like just killing like the workouts. And then multiple teams, like he's the most impressive guy that we've interviewed, just as far as like his personality. He lights up a room, he's confident. And just a great, great kid. And so he came on my podcast on Monday. Matter of fact, I did it right after I did the one with you. And we never met. We never spoke before. And you would have thought that I had like great chemistry with him. So he has this glowing personality, and he's athletic. He can defend. He's mature because he's from Montreal, went to a prep school in outside of Chicago, then went to the NBA Academy in Mexico. So, I mean, he's mature. He's traveled, speaks four languages. So teams are already blown away by him off the court. And then he's like an athletic defender. And so I think a team may say, he shot the ball well in a pre-draft process, even though he was in like the, I want to say the low 30s from three this year. I think some teams may say it's easy, he's closer to being a good shooter while also being a good defender than some of the other guys. But he's so late rising in the process, in a sense, that I don't know if a team will take him in the lottery, but he could end up having an all rookie type season.
Interesting. I also love that he's mature because he's from Montreal. Is that how we're claiming Canadians right now? Can we just pretend to be mature? I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, he's traveled. I mean, you know, you got to think a lot of the freshmen, they're just 1 year removed from high school.
Yeah,
and you know, he's a little older, like as far as like experience, but he's still only 20 years old. And so right. So I think he's like the biggest outside of Bilal. I think he's the biggest riser. I think he'll get drafted in the teens. I don't know about the lottery.
Fair enough. Now I just pulled up the list, and I got this from the Rookie Wire usage today of a list of guys that the Raptors have worked out. I'm just going to read a bunch of names at you. Tell me if any of them sort of stand out. Some guys that we haven't talked about maybe that you think could possibly be a steal if the Raptors do, you know, have that pick, or maybe some guys that have dropped out. So Charles Bediako.
Canadian guy. He's a native. And I've heard he's done really well. Matter of fact, I heard in that workout, I'm spilling the beans here. The Toronto workout, Cason Wallace and Bediako were on the same team, and they won like all of their games.
Oh, okay.
Little insider information there.
I like hearing that. next, we talked about him already, Grady Dick, just someone who can help out with just the shooting that they're out to need help with.
Yeah.
I am sorry if I mispronounce his name, Kamaka Hepa out of Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more so like a two-way guy.
Yeah.
Raptors 905 candidate, but
okay. Yeah, so just like by that you mean more of a prospect than like a player who can contribute right away?
Yeah, I mean more so just a guy that they may want to develop. Even though he's a little bit older. But yeah, I mean I just think he's like a training camp summer league type target.
Can I just say, just to interrupt my list here, I'm impressed. I'm like just reading off a list of names here, and you're just like, yep, got this about him, got this about him. I cannot retain 2 minutes worth of anything.
You know what? I say that because I disagree. Because when I listen to your podcast,
yeah,
you can do the same thing for the Raptors players or the NBA. I mean, I've followed you for years.
Okay, like,
you
know, thank you. I remember just useless information. Very fair. But yeah, like,
this is just my thing, the draft. And, you know, when you have a podcast like I do 5 days a week,
right?
You talk about the guys enough, you just start to just remember stuff. So, like, when people ask me to be on their podcast and they send me notes, I'm like, I don't need them. I can...
next name out of Michigan, we talked about him already, Jet Howard. And then we've got Maxwell Lewis out of Pepperdine. What are your thoughts on Max Lewis?
I like Max. I like him a lot. He had he was in Chicago, so I met him at the combine, and I got invited to his workout, and I went to film it. I'm a videographer, so I'm able to like create my own content.
That's great.
And so I went to go watch him play. He didn't participate at the combine other than like the measurements and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I went to watch him work out. And I'll be honest, and I'm dead serious here, it's the best like individual workout that I've ever filmed. Like, he did not miss. Like, the workout was so good that the person that's running his pre-draft process asked me to send the raw footage. And that's what he's sending to teams. Like, jeez, this is the raw footage. So, you know, usually when you make like a workout video, there's no misses on there.
Right.
And I mean, I put the edited version. It's on the NBA Big Boy YouTube channel. So if you just type in Maxwell Lewis, or even if you just
guys, scroll check it down out.
Back like 2 weeks, and I did a one-on-one interview with him. I think he's really good. I think that he should be in the lottery discussion. The problem is he went to Pepperdine, and Pepperdine was just awful. I don't even know if he won 20 games in his 2 years at Pepperdine.
Jesus.
I mean, they were really, really bad.
Yeah.
And so he kind of has to shed the label of a guy that put up good numbers on a bad team.
Right.
Another knock on him was that he was just an absolutely poor defender. Mm. But most people will tell you it's not because he lacks the tools. It's just because maybe he wasn't held accountable.
Yeah.
He has this tendency, because he's so athletic, to let guys get by him, and then he tries to go from behind and get the block. So he falls into that range of a good shooter. And I think out of like all the wings, he may be the best like shot creator as far as like the threes, far as getting his own shot. But the concern is, again, the defense, and he played on a bad team, and he's just going to have to go like above and beyond to convince teams that he's not just a guy that just got a bunch of garbage points or empty stats. But talent-wise, I think if he went to one of these major schools, we'd be talking about him as a lottery pick.
Interesting. So he's more of the poor defense, because, you know, he wants to get the block, or maybe a gamble because he wants to get the steal. A showy guy, which, hey, if you're on a bad team, you might as well get your numbers and get your highlights, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Next up, we talked about him from G League Ignite. Actually, I want to focus in a little bit more about him, which is Leonard Miller, because I think that's a name that people have sort of wanted around the Raptors. So what are your thoughts on him? Do you think that is someone the Raptors could sort of look at, or do you expect him to be taken earlier or fall sort of out of the lottery there?
I think he fits like Masai's draft history.
Okay.
But it would just add just way too much redundancy to what they already have. So here's my Leonard Miller story.
So the last few years, combine, who stopped them? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of redundancy. So Leonard Miller is from Canada, I want to say the Toronto area, and his name was starting to, you know, buzz a little bit around this time last year, actually probably about April last year, as a guy that could possibly enter the draft. So he goes to the combine, and he is like the absolute worst player at the combine last year. I mean, he was bad. Looked like a fish out of water.
No.
And I remember like people from Canada, or people that I guess coached him, whatever, just asking me how was it going. And I was like, man, like he just, it's just too much for him. The game was too fast. I mean, you could just see it in his face that he was out of place. But every once in a while, you'd see like him get a rebound and he'd make an outlet pass, or you'd see, and he's 6'11". So let me say that, he's 6'11". You would see him handle the ball and make a couple plays mixed in with like definitely more bad plays than good. But at that point, I saw the intrigue, like, okay, he's 6'11", he can handle, he can pass, he has some wing skills at 6'11". Of course, that's intriguing. So I went and watched like all his film, and I saw the intrigue. So then this season, he goes to the G League Ignite, and
yeah.
I mean, obviously Scoot is the headliner there, and he plays this role that is totally different than what I expected him to play. I thought they would use him as like a point forward, or just kind of showcase his passing and ball handling. And that's not the role that he played. He ended up being like this dunker spot big that, I mean, just kind of played around the basket as a finisher, has excellent like timing as far as like cutting and getting offensive rebounds. And he was productive. He averaged like 17 points and 10 rebounds per game. Then in March, and I actually went to a game, and because I live in Dallas and they played the Texas Legends, I was at the game. He had 20 points and 20 rebounds.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that.
I saw it, and then you see how big he is. He's 6'11". In March, and I'm going to read these stats to you.
Yeah.
22 points, 12.9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1.7 blocks per game, 64, 58, 90 shooting splits. Now, again, that's a month. Small sample size, but he was the best prospect on the Ignite at the end of the season. I mean, Scoot took his foot off the gas, completely took his foot off the gas, but Leonard Miller stepped it up. So I want you can make a case and say, well, the Ignite were bad. You know, Scoot didn't have anything to play for. He knew where he was going. Leonard Miller was still trying to fight for his draft position or whatever. No matter how you spin it, the guy got better at the end of the year. He averaged 10 rebounds per game in the league against grown men. He's 6'11", and he's skilled. And the reason why he's so intriguing to me is because if he can put together what he did in the G League with the passing and the ball handling that he showed prior to that,
right,
you could have like a really, really good piece. Good athlete, not like a great athlete. Has a funky looking shot. It's interesting looking shot, but
it's always a nice compliment. It's interesting.
I mean,
looking.
It's not like super ugly. I mean,
it's not like Joakim Noah.
No, it's not. It's not that. But it's definitely not the shot when you're like teaching the fundamentals of basketball. He's definitely not going to be in a better basketball video. But he shot like 80 something percent from the foul line. So I think the touch is there. And he's still young. So I think if he can expand his range and put all of that together, then he could be one of the best prospects in this class.
Okay. I love to hear that. Even if it doesn't work out for the Raptors, Team Canada, we're shaping up really nicely, you know? Backcourt of Jamal.
If they can get
Shea.
Everybody to play. Just get everybody to play for Team Canada.
Hey, I mean, if not, Nick Nurse will play you guys all 44 minutes. who do show up. Next on this list is Isaiah Miranda from NC State. Thoughts on Isaiah Miranda?
Raptors 905 guy.
Okay. So it seems like a lot of the guys that they maybe have worked out, they're sort of looking not just maybe with lottery picks, but just in general, depending on what they do.
Yeah, you know, you got to do your due diligence.
That's fair.
Especially, you know, you look at Toronto, what they've been able to get from Van Vliet and Siakam and some. They've had a lot of success developing guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just teams.
Jump them back, guys. Yeah.
And then also in these workouts, sometimes you want to see how these younger freshmen play against the older, experienced 4-year guy. And then maybe, like, for example, if it's a guard that you really like, and then maybe you bring in like this older defender that's just a pest and you want to see how competitive it is. So, I mean, there's so many reasons why there's so many names of guys that are getting workouts. And it could also be a favor for an agent. You know what I mean? Like if it's, I'm just throwing it out here. If it's Siakam's agent, of course, you know, Masai is going to answer. Like,
valid, very valid. I mean, for a team that like took 2 months to pick a coach, due diligence might be the reason for a lot of this. No, but that's a great point. So I'm just going to throw out some other names at you. We have, we talked about Brandon already, but we have Marquise Noel, Malachi Smith. And I know we've already talked a little bit about Nick Smith and Cason Wallace, but I don't think we've talked a lot about DeAndre Williams. So thoughts on DeAndre Williams and Malachi Smith.
DeAndre Williams from Memphis.
Yes.
He's 26 years old.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, he's 26 years old. I mean, he's talented. He's good, but
already, I think the third, just maybe under Jakob and Fred and Siakam, if you know those two stay.
Yeah, he's 26. I mean, you know, somebody made a comment that
I'm not a porter.
Taylor Hendricks like struggled with him. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, he's 26. You know, like I would hope when Taylor Williams or Taylor Hendricks is 26, he's dominating an 18-year-old. So, but yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely a guy that with his experience and so on that, you know, if you're an 18 or 19-year-old, he's not the guy that you want to work out against just because he's stronger and so on. But I mean, he's a good guy. I think he's someone that, you know, best case scenario could crack the back end of a roster. Marquise Noel is exciting. I mean, he was the most exciting player in the NCAA tournament. He's like 5'8", averaged more rebounds than Jet Howard, like I mentioned. Phenomenal passer. I mean, the best passer in the draft, in my opinion, especially out of pick and rolls. He's older. He's probably like 24. Okay. Can score. Just really good. It's just the size is going to be like his biggest knock. But I mean, Toronto has success with really undersized guards. But Marquise
started the smallest backcourt in the league at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. Marquise is smaller than Fred. Better passer. better playmaker. I mean, he's a really good playmaker, and I think he's going to be a really good playmaker, or he would be with like the NBA rules and spacing. But he has, you know, a couple things really going against him is the fact that he's 23 or 24.
Right.
And he's just small. So
yeah,
but he is someone that I think is going to go to Summer League and put on a show.
I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see that. And then that was Marquise, you said?
Yeah, Marquise Noel.
And then finally, I'll leave you with Malachi Smith from Gonzaga.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's also someone that, you know, is a Raptors 905 guy.
Okay.
Had good numbers. I think he went to like Tennessee, Chattanooga or something like that before he transferred to Gonzaga. Had a solid year, but I think he's more so of a G League training camp, maybe exhibit 10 guy.
Okay. I mean, that was a lot to chew on. Thank you. I'm just literally just throwing names at you at one point and just being like, oh yeah, yeah. There's like a story for everybody and tons of stats. I mean, hello everybody, but this is not advertising for NBA Big Board. I don't know what's wrong with you, but going through it, I'm trying to find the words in how I want to phrase this question. But if you have the pick at 13 and you are looking for a guard, do you think that they have, do you think that 13 is a fine spot to be to get that guy? Or do you think the sort of higher names that we've been talking about, the Keontaes, the Buckins, do you think that they would sort of pass the Raptors by at the number 13 spot?
No, I think you can get, you can get a really good guard at 13. You figure the top five will be Wembanyama, Scoot Miller, Amen Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Jairus Walker goes five. Let's say Cam Whitmore goes five. Let's say Jairus Walker, Anthony Black, and Taylor Hendricks. Maybe even Derek Lively at the Mavs at 10. So now, you know, your guard range is, you know, I mean, even if Bilal goes to 9 to Utah, you still have, and let's just say Anthony Black goes to Washington. So right. You still have Keontae, you still have Cason Wallace, Hood Schifino, Bufkin, all of those guys will still be available.
Yeah, all the guys that we talked about, which, does that make Raptor fans, are you guys nervous? Is that, do you think that that's because the Raptors don't actually want to take one of these guards and want to maybe do something that, looking at the roster and the makeup of this team, that they probably shouldn't be doing right now? they did mention that they want to take best player available. They did mention that they want to take a Raptors guy. And to me, a Raptors guy kind of means one thing, because it's just
a
the
long
one thing.
Wing. long wing that can't shoot.
Hey, it'll be really, really interesting to see what the Raptors do. I mean, thank you so much for joining me again for today. Thank you for, I think that was a lot of names for everyone to sort of chew on. If we have not mentioned the guy, I mean, at this point, it's because they've taken a Bruno Capoglio pick, right? Like, we've kind of talked about every single person who's going to be in there. I'll leave you with everybody that we mentioned. Who do you think is the most surefire bet who can contribute right away?
Well, I mean, that's
the big question.
Well, simply because we don't know, like, if they're going to like lean towards rebuilding or they're just going to try to just keep it afloat. If they lean towards rebuilding, whoever they select at 13 is going to be given.
Right here, let's throw the Raptors even by the wayside. Let's say, like, which of these guys do you think you put on an NBA team and they're like, yeah, they can contribute right away, versus it'll probably take this guy a little bit because maybe he needs to bulk up, or, you know, the shot's not there yet. Like, who do you look at as like NBA ready?
Honestly, and this is someone that I think out of the guys that we've talked about today,
yeah,
I might say Leonard Miller, because okay, he already has a year of professional experience. I think that he has at the minimum a role as like an active big that can rebound and cut, and he has good size. So I'd say he probably has the easiest role in a sense, because again, he's already been a pro and he can, you know, be like your guy that just kind of hangs around the basket and finishes. But then if, you know, and like, I think a coach like, well, they have a bunch of guys similar, but if he was in a different team and he had like a Nick Nurse type coach, he'd be able to maximize all of his gifts. The problem I just think with Toronto is they had too many guys with overlapping skill sets. and it was kind of hard to allow everyone to shine. But I think Leonard Miller has like the easiest role.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So, hey, maybe the Raptors just do the thing again. And, you know, we're all talking about a guard play and they just pick up another wing. It'll be really interesting to see what they do. We got a whole summer for that. And today was just focusing on the draft. Thank you so much for joining me today. And please let everybody know where they can find all of your work.
Yeah, you can find me at NBABigBoard.com. It's a newsletter that I have. And then Locked On NBA Big Board podcast is 5 days a week. I'll be in New York for the draft, so I have some content coming from there. And if you like draft content, I'm sure I said on the last episode, you can probably get 7 or 8 forms of draft content from me in a week.
Hey, I mean, I'll tell you the best that's doing it. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you everyone for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you.